Spotlight.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. I am Nishit Kumar, and today we'll be discussing about India-New Zealand Free Trade Agreement. And today we have with us former Ambassador Anil Wadhwa. Ambassador Wadhwa, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Ambassador Wadhwa, as we all saw today, the landmark free trade agreement signed between India and New Zealand, which was in the making for quite some time now, especially the broader contours were kind of laid out in December itself in 2025. Could you bring out the salient features of the agreement which was signed today?
So the India-New Zealand Free Trade Agreement, which was signed today, establishes a comprehensive framework to deepen bilateral economic ties, to foster investment, and to enhance market access across goods and services. This historic deal aligns with India's strategy to diversify its trade partners and also to secure high-quality economic cooperation with developed economies. The agreement actually focuses on mutual growth through structured trade liberalization and significant long-term investment commitments. First, on market access. India secures zero-duty access for 100% of its goods exported to New Zealand. And in exchange, India has liberalized approximately 70% of its tariff lines, covering nearly 95% of New Zealand's exports by value. Second, on investment commitment. A landmark feature is New Zealand's commitment to facilitate $20 billion in investments into India over the next 15 years. This is supported by a rebalancing mechanism that allows India to suspend FTA benefits if these investment targets are not met. Third is the services and mobility part of it. This agreement opens market access for India in 118 service sectors, and that includes notably IT, finance, education, tourism, and construction. It also incorporates provisions for 5,000 temporary work visas, along with working holiday and post-study work options. And fourth is the sectoral cooperation, because this agreement establishes institutional linkages for MSMEs and promotes partnerships in agriculture, particularly in horticulture areas like apples and kiwi fruit and organic primary products. All in all, wonderful agreement that we have signed today with New Zealand.
Absolutely, Ambassador Wadhwa. And on this occasion, let's listen into what the Commerce Minister Piyush Goyal had to say.
The free trade agreement is very comprehensive, very forward-looking. While it opens the doors for goods and services in a massive way, it also has an investment commitment which will encourage businesses to leverage the strengths and scale that India offers. It will also encourage Indian businesses to look at New Zealand market both for access in goods and services and potential investment. It will, as Todd said, it could open up the doors for cultural exchanges, it could open the door for education, it can expand our engagement on pharmaceuticals and the medical side, it can encourage new job creation, technology transfers, joint innovation projects. As Prime Minister Modi said, and I quote, the India-New Zealand Free Trade Agreement sets the stage for doubling the bilateral trade in the coming 5 years. Let's look at greater ambition together.
Mr. Wadhwa, one very important point in this agreement which stands out rather is the protection of the rural economy, the farmers and other allied industry, which was a matter of much debate when we look at the agreements in the making or in the discussion with the Western developed world, especially the United States. Now, this agreement is very clear, very categorical about how these industries, the rural economy, the farmers' interests have been protected. Your say on that?
Yes, so our primary focus of the negotiation with New Zealand was safeguarding India's sensitive domestic industries from import pressure. So if you look at dairy and agriculture, nearly 30% of tariff lines have been excluded from the agreement. Crucially, the dairy sector is completely protected, meaning that New Zealand cannot export dairy products duty-free into India. Then if you look at the exclusion list of this agreement, you have additional items shielded from tariff concessions, and these include certain animal products, specific vegetables, almonds, sugar, oils, spices, metals, and rubber. Now, these are all areas which are sensitive to India, and it's quite amazing that India has been able to keep almost everything that was sensitive out of this agreement. However, there is an increased access for New Zealand forestry and manufacturing goods, and that may challenge some of the domestic producers. But I think it's going to be offset by the fact that India does not have much of forestry products which are available, and its growing economy actually needs these products from New Zealand. And overall, I think India has done well to keep out the sensitive areas out of this agreement.
Absolutely, Ambassador Wadhwa. It goes without saying that with the current geopolitical situations that the entire world rather is living in, and especially India, it becomes that much more important for India to reach out to the developed world. As Commerce Minister Piyush Goyal also said in his statement today, let's listen in what he says.
The signing of this FTA today marks another defining milestone in India's engagement with the developed world and brings us closer to Honorable Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi's vision of Viksit Bharat 2047. With this FTA, it is the seventh free trade agreement that I am signing in the last 3.5 years. Two more to go very soon in the next few months with the European Union and the United States of America. And we would have had 9 free trade agreements.
Ambassador Wadhwa, as we just heard Commerce Minister Piyush Goyal say, this is the 7th agreement in the last 3.5 years and 2 more with the EU and US to go in the coming months. How significant is this, especially when we look at the US agreement, which has been quite in the making over the past almost 1 year now, and especially as we talked earlier with the developed world?
The EU agreement, which has already been agreed, remains to be signed. And of course, the US agreement that has been hanging fire for the whole year now would both be very, very important agreements for the Indian economy. Because of India's strategy in today's geopolitical context to diversify its trade partners and secure high-quality economic cooperation with developed economies. This is one way in which the Indian economy can move forward, and it can work together with countries who are already developed, reaching certain standards. And as you pointed out, it's very important for India to move along that path so that we become a developed economy by 2047, which is the vision of India. And of course, the most important aspect here is the emphasis on services and mobility across all the agreements that India has been signing. And India has been trying to open as many service sectors and make use of our talent in IT and finance and construction, especially, in order to make sure that Indians are able to obtain temporary work visas, and also post-study work options are opened up for the Indian students, because that becomes very important in the long term. India is a country which has got a large population. It needs to work together with the rest of the world, and therefore it needs to cooperate with most economies on the mobility and the services side, also in the process looking at high technology for its growth and for its own industries to develop.
Absolutely, Ambassador Wadhwa. And we must not forget that the commitment of $20 billion to India will, of course, be fueling many other sectors like agriculture, manufacturing, infrastructure, etc. You'll see on that.
The agreement with New Zealand, of course, opens up some very important institutional linkages for them, because it will promote partnerships with developed economy like New Zealand in agriculture, and particularly in horticulture, and also in organic primary products, because New Zealand is known for its forestry products, its timber, and at the same time its natural products. Secondly, the commitment of facilitating $20 billion of investments into India over the next 15 years will mean that New Zealand will focus on sectors in which it is already developed, and it wants to establish and strengthen those linkages. So obviously, these fields of excellence will be those in which India needs to develop its own economy. If investments come into the agriculture and the dairy sector, in which New Zealand is very strong, then obviously it will improve productivity and bring about efficiency in these sectors as far as India is concerned, leading to a much greater cooperation between the companies of India and New Zealand.
Yes, Ambassador Wadhwa, all of us, we do understand the significance of the signing of this free trade agreement with New Zealand. with the New Zealand's Minister for Trade and Investment, Todd McClay, actually terming it as once-in-a-generation opportunities. So let's listen in what he has to say.
This agreement is also being concluded at a time of heightened global and regional uncertainty. In this context, strong, reliable partnerships matter more than ever before. New Zealand sees India as an essential partner in supporting regional stability, economic resilience, and shared prosperity. As ministers, we recognize the signing of this agreement is not the end of the process. In fact, it is a beginning. Its success will be measured by how well it is implemented, how effectively businesses and institutions make use of it. We look forward to continuing our close cooperation as we move into the next phase of implementation and of delivery.
Ambassador Wadhwa, the New Zealand Minister for Trade and Investment, Todd McClay, mentions about the importance of this agreement in the current heightened global uncertainties that all of us are witnessing. And in this scenario, to have cooperation, to have free trade agreements, especially with willing countries and, of course, the advanced economies, can just not be overstated. Your views on that?
It's important in today's geopolitical context, and I think many countries around the world realize this, that it's important to trade and to invest in countries who are reliable partners and who can be relied upon for a resilient supply chain in any particular product. New Zealand sees India as one of those countries, and this is heartening to note. I think the sentiments are reciprocated on the Indian side, because India sees New Zealand as a country which believes in the rule of law, it believes in free trade, and at the same time, it is a country from which enormous benefits can be obtained in the high-tech areas which India wants to develop. So I think, you know, this partnership going forward, which is riding on trust and a mutual feeling that supply chains can be strengthened with each other, will mean a lot in the future. Both sides have done well to come to this agreement in a very short period of time. I think the geopolitical context helped in this process, and I think both countries will be able to make use of the trust that they placed in each other.
Absolutely, Ambassador Wadhwa. One very standout kind of feature of this agreement has been the emphasis on the so-called lesser important topics, which generally we tend to ignore. Like if we talk of the landmark health and traditional knowledge collaboration, which is the first of its kind by New Zealand, promoting Ayurveda, yoga, and other traditional systems, Ayush, wellness services. Now, these areas, these sectors have really been taken care of. How do you think these sectors, this so-called, though not the center stage kind of sectors, could help in furthering the business environment between India and New Zealand?
The New Zealand people and its population live with the nature, and they are people who admire nature a lot. In today's world in which we see lives being very busy, with a lot of stress coming into the lives of ordinary people, it's important that they see India as a source of important traditional medicine, which can take care of the elementary day-to-day problems through Ayurveda and traditional medicine. Now, Indian traditional medicine has been known the world over for some decades now. It's increasingly doing well in terms of popularity because of the increasing reliance of many populations around the world on natural and herbal products and the traditional system of treatment and medicine. And it's good that Indian medicine has found a niche in the New Zealand context. This will not only help in the propagation of Indian traditional medicine, but will also help this propagation to the neighboring countries in Southeast Asia and similar developed economies.
Right. Thank you so very much, Ambassador Wadhwa, for having joined us and shared your views on the free trade agreement signed between India and New Zealand today.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.